Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 2017. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a general discussion. We'll have some sounds in the background as we're working on some alarms and security stuff, yes, for our elevator. First item on the agenda is order number 2017-037 in the matter of replacement of large culvert crossing North Applegate Road, approving temporary closure for roadway during replacement of culvert. Important recommendation. We have Mr. DeJonvay here this morning. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Commissioners.
And a full board.
This particular road, this is out near the border with Jackson County. It's a ways out there.
It's past Kubli.
Yes. It's about 10 feet down, and the road's about 22 feet wide, so it's kind of hard to put a culvert in on a 22-foot wide road and try to keep it open for traffic. I'm thinking that we could probably do it in 4 to 5 days, but again, I like
How come you can't do it in 24 hours? I don't understand how a contractor couldn't. With an excavator, you ought to be able to replace it overnight.
Most places don't like us working at night out there, just the neighbors.
I think they'd rather have the road open.
We can always propose that to the contractor.
I would think that would be really efficient. I just saw this video about in Japan replacing the viaduct over mm-hmm. in Medford. Mm-hmm. They did it in like 48 hours. Mm-hmm. They tore it down and put one back up in 48
hours. Had everything
hours.
Planned ahead of time and
yeah.
they worked around the clock.
Having been to Japan and having been to Hong Kong and having been all over the world, that's a whole different brand of people. They have no idea what it means to stop. If there's a job in front of them, they do it till it's done. It's a whole different set of work ethics.
They had 140 excavators, one every 100 feet.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. On either side of the viaduct, mm-hmm. tearing it down and everything ready to go to put it back up. I mean, it wasn't 48 hours. It was not long.
Yeah.
It was what would take us
not a year
4 months.
Yeah.
They
year
did it in like 4 days. And it's 10 feet isn't that far.
It's not that far.
Yeah.
It's just the tie-ins and everything.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is still get the approval for up to 9 days in case the contractors come back and say, absolutely not, we can't do it overnight.
But, sure.
But I will put in the contract that, you know, try to get them to do it overnight or over 2 days.
What's the total length of the tube?
It's about 30. It's about 38 feet. It ties into an irrigation box on the downhill side, a concrete box.
And diameter of the pipe?
We're thinking it's about a 36. It's underwater at the moment, so we have to dewater it to get an exact dimension.
So how does the irrigation district feel about shutting off the water?
This is actually just a back feed off the irrigation. They don't use...
So it runs it back into
yeah,
the river?
No, it runs it back up to the north. Well,
is it retention in the winter
no.
rather than conveyance?
No, it's just a drainage conveyance that goes down into the irrigation ditch.
Okay.
And there's actually a place that we could drop blocks in to stop the water from going back under the road to the irrigation district so that they won't do that. So.
What are you talking about?
There's a box on the downhill side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the irrigation goes this way. And the box where ours come in have a slot for boards. If we put boards in there, we could dewater ours because it's just drainage. But the irrigation district won't do that.
But it's on the downhill side. How are you? I'm not understanding how you're dewatering the section you're looking to.
Because there's no water that would flow into it.
Yeah.
So once you stop the water, it'll just absorb down into the ground.
They can block off that right now. There's a tube coming underneath the road goes to that box,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the irrigation system.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it's there,
it's
going to get water and goes back into sea
level. So it's like an elbow?
You can board that off.
It's like a T.
The water
yeah,
out
it
of
is
the
T,
culvert.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Then you got to pump the water out of the culvert, be able to pull the culvert out, and
yeah.
then go from there.
Yeah.
But you guys can put the boards in
we
on
can
the
put
T?
The boards in, yeah. And we just typically don't, only because if it rains... Then we'd have to. That's one more thing we would have to go out and do, and is to pull those boards.
Yeah, Yeah, but wouldn't that help you to replace the culvert?
Yes, it will.
So you're going to put boards in to replace this?
Yeah, put boards in because it's not part of the irrigation district. It's more part of the drainage coming off the hill, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
That's why it's got water.
There's a box there for irrigation. Mm-hmm. If there's a conveyance.
There for irrigation.
So.
But for in wintertime, that box then becomes it, the water coming down off the hill goes underneath the road. It's conveyance. That
Well, collection. I think whenever we're looking to shut down a road in general, we need to look at the most expeditious way to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it isn't just
there
normal
isn't a
9 days.
There isn't a detour out there anywhere you can detour around it.
Yeah, there is. There's
well,
Missouri.
It's Kuvley.
Kuvley to Missouri, back.
Yeah.
Which isn't, I think it's actually probably a pretty good place.
It is a decent.
It's not a bad.
It's about 10, 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maximum.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, then don't go to any extra cost, I think, and maybe the inconvenience to the neighborhood. But
you notify folks out there within, or do you post it out there?
Well, after today's meeting, because, again, we're going to post something that says it'll be closed. Again, until we have a contractor, we don't know his exact time frame.
You haven't even bid this yet?
Not until we know that we can close the road. Otherwise, we'd have to bid it as being open.
Sure.
I have no problem with the road being closed, whatever.
Not with the alternative.
Would you put for 5 days?
Nine.
We're thinking five days, but I have
two weekends and a five.
Yeah. That's worst case. I can't see it going that long. I mean, honestly, two or three, maybe four, if they just work days.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. And now that I know I'm trying to figure a way to get around that, and I guess Kuvley to Missouri Flat, and then you could come back in. From Applegate, you can come all the way into the thing, and I think okay.
And we've talked to Jackson County, and they're fine with the detour and the closure. So
okay,
but we'll probably have the bid out probably this afternoon or tomorrow morning to the contractors in a short time.
Just try to give the neighbors out there as much headway
so,
as you can on it.
Why wasn't this brought to the board? Is it the fact that we didn't have an admin
last week?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that we know why, because we know when we're doing these culvert replacements and they could be.
Well, this was kind of an unknown for me until just a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
What happened?
The shoulder is starting to settle down, and there's something failing out there. And
have you looked at it?
I have been out there.
What's wrong with the culvert?
I presume it's probably rotted out from all the water standing in it.
Now, what type of pipe do you put back in? Are you going to go plastic, or are you going to go?
We're going to go plastic.
And go plastic.
Yeah, because that way the water sitting in it won't rot it. So.
Right. Yeah.
Seems like we're experiencing more water in that area, and it could be because of drainage situations getting old and leaking.
Yeah.
And so, putting in, for the next 20 years, we just want to make sure that we're putting in the right size pipe.
Yeah.
So that's something
we have to size it based on what the irrigation box is.
Oh, of course. Okay.
So, but
all
we
right.
will go as large as we can.
Sounds good. Well, let's move it forward, I guess. I'll entertain. I guess we could do a motion here today. So, an order number 2017-037, a motion to approve.
Move that we approve the order.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks, Chuck.
I can put an incentive in the contract for if they get it done less than
I think
than
the
five.
Alternative there is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we need to spend extra money to do that.
So. Okay. All right.
But ideally, as fast as they can get it done, they get on to the next job.
There's two sides to the incentive. You give an incentive, but then you have a penalty if it doesn't.
Yes.
If it goes over.
Yes.
So what's this usually, what do you think that this is going to come in around? What's the in-house estimate?
I haven't even looked at it long enough for that yet. So
okay, well,
sorry.
That'll determine whether or not you're signing on it or both of you or it comes to the board.
Yeah, so. I presume it would be less than 50. That hits prevailing wage. And even if it's 51, they'll do it for 49.
Good.
So they don't have to do the paperwork. So.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks
all right.
a lot. Item number two is Public Health Organizational Plan. So in the last couple of weeks, we've had a situation where, I guess interested parties that we have in the room. Our public health director has resigned, and we're just looking at this as an opportunity. And so, Commissioner Morgan, did you put this on the agenda?
Yes, sir, at your request.
Cool.
So
let's talk about it. What do you got?
We have some things that we think that we can move ahead on right now with some changes in public health that we'd like to present to the board. And we have some recommendations for some things down the road that we think would be beneficial. I don't have the newest version.
This is the newest version.
So we have Cheryl Walker, who is our interim public health director, and Arthur O'Hara, our interim finance director, until we find somebody. Just kidding.
So, did you not make any of these?
Say what?
Did you not make any of these?
What?
The current situation or the...
No, I'm just giving you what the October 1 version and the...
Would you be willing to go make a bunch of copies of those two? Also with us today, Jennifer Johnston is our chair of the Board of Health, and Sean Martinez is our prevention coordinator. Is that the right title? Okay. Both are affected by what we're talking about today. So there's a couple things that you guys asked us to look at. Specifically was what I'm having her copy is a map of where we are right now. And so I think that's critical to kind of see where we are so that we can see where we're going. In speaking with the sheriff's office and with prevention, there's a couple moves that we would like to see in place by October 1st. And so you'll see the first slide is as of October 1st recommendations. And what those moves are is that our animal control officers will move to the sheriff's office. The tobacco education coordinator.
Where is that illustrated? I'm sorry.
Well, it's what you're going to see is what we have right now.
Oh, it's not illustrated here?
It's just
it's
typed
in
the
narrative.
Bottom.
Yeah,
okay.
So as of October 1, this is how public work health will look if the board wants to move forward.
Thank you. So the one that we just gave you is what it looks like right now.
Which?
This one.
And
this one is what we have right now.
Each of them have a date at the top, as of date. The one here is delineated by the people, and that was prepared by JJ.
Okay.
The one as of 7/25 was prepared by Arthur. And so you'll have three dates in front of you. 7/25 is where we stand right now. October 1st, where we believe it would look October 1st, and a recommendation of where it would look January 1st. So starting with where we are right now, the quick and easy things that can be moved and with a better fit of where they would go, the recommendation would be that the animal control officers go to the sheriff's office. How that would do is we essentially would be eliminating the lead or transferring the lead into a deputy position with arrest authority, but fully assigned to animal control and supervising the unit. So it would be a deputy and two animal control officers instead of a lead and two animal control officers. And the sheriff, there was different thoughts about the timing of this, but with them hiring right now, they're getting a great pool of people to be looking at, and now would be the time to be recruiting for that potential position. Our lead position is vacant, and so this would give the opportunity to get somebody in there and get them that training.
So why do we have to wait till October?
We don't. This is that we want these done by October 1st.
Oh, okay.
They can happen sooner.
Great.
But with sheriff's office, you have background checks. You have, you know, the psychs and all that kind of stuff. So we want it done by then. And if you think about that, it's already August. 2 months for a hiring for a deputy is what that was thinking.
Sure.
What we'd like to move on right away, and just logistically, is moving three positions to prevention coordinator. The tobacco education coordinator and the community health workers. They all are in line with what is already going on under Sean's leadership in our prevention program. She already oversees prevention of all the other products and gambling that we have going on in the county, and for some reason tobacco gets pulled out to public health. She already oversees the funding through Oregon Health Authority for these prevention programs and other, so it's kind of a good fit that tobacco would also go in with alcohol prevention, marijuana prevention, gambling prevention, and those programs.
And that, I don't see that illustrated.
We're just showing what public health would look like on October 1st.
If these changes were made, yes.
So where does prevention go?
Prevention stays where it's at under...
Public health?
Under juvenile justice. But tobacco prevention moves over.
So you're taking from public health and moving it over.
Correct. The other piece is the community health workers. They currently are in the high schools doing educational programming and different things, and that's also something Sean's already doing, working with youth programs and the high schoolers, with the high schoolers and the other prevention programs. So we believe that would be a good fit overall to move under her direction. Already we had, Director Goodwin, been moving towards Sean's position from where it's at to an NU position and a supervisor level according to what she's... the work that she's doing. And there was going to be a prevention assistant hired, and we think that that may not have to happen with the move of these other two positions.
Great.
If I may add, the community health workers are a grant with AllCare, and as I understand, mm-hmm. you already talked to AllCare, and they're okay with that.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. So that is the immediate changes that we're recommending, that we believe there's already room at juvenile justice for the three employees to come over, so that move can happen immediately. The sheriff's office just needs the hiring time, and that can go through that process. The one piece that we have to still figure out is the call routing, and we're going to set up a meeting between the four parties that currently receive calls. So say there's a dog bite. It can either go through the 911 system because it's so vicious, or someone just takes themselves to the hospital and the hospital calls, or some go through animal shelters, some go through a different capacity. So right now there's calls going into different locations, and we want to just get the mapping down to get that coordinated. So all the investigations are going to be routed to the sheriff's office for them to follow up with.
So those positions are paid for out of the current animal control levy, mm-hmm. and then the prevention stuff doesn't change from a funding perspective. It just, so the questions that as we go through this, you know, how does that change the coordinator's responsibilities to being more of a supervisory position? And so just we'll need to have, where's JJ?
He's out this week.
Which coordinator?
The prevention coordinator. If she's, I would feel as though she's probably not managing as many people as she will be once this is reorganized.
This is something that I had already given Jim permission to move forward towards making it supervisory before these recommendations were made. We were already moving towards doing some changes in the prevention stuff, and so that was already something that was...
Yeah, we'll just need to see a new job description, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does that come down? And that should be fine.
And that was something that he's ready to sign and get it submitted to us.
Good.
It was a matter of then these changes adjusted a little bit more.
We should have had somebody here from HR, even if it was Carlton.
I didn't know JJ was going to be out.
What are the other, are there any additional responsibilities that Mr. Goodwin's never actually been the director of a full program? And so that's something, I just want to make sure that when we're asking people to do different things, or more things, that we're being aware of what does that do to their job description and current salaries and stuff that we're not...
So are you talking about Jim now, or are you talking about
mm-hmm.
Sean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me
Sean
take it.
Has been... She's on top of that.
Yeah.
And it really, from Jim's perspective, Sean has been self-sufficient. It's not something that... I mean, she'll bring things to him to sign, but it was like, why am I overseeing this? She needs to be... The position originally was a couple positions that merged into one.
Maybe not just with prevention, but, you know, holistically with running a detention facility or being over an actual detention facility. As before, he's paying, you know, Douglas County to really be administering that program. We just write him a check and drop off and pick up. So I just, as we're doing this, looking through the lens of he's not doing the same program, it's a different program.
Have you looked at the structural changes he's recommended?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, so he's recommending a deputy director and some different divisions. And when the program was there before, they had a supervisor over the shelter. They had a supervisor over the other program.
Yeah.
So he's got a whole structure laid out.
I haven't seen that, so I don't
I think that one thing that would be beneficial for us is to relook at our schedule for quarterly updates and kind of...
Well, this isn't a quarterly update thing.
This is a program update.
Of a...
But it would be appropriate to get him in here and get some things before you guys kind of recommendations. As liaison, he's been passing the stuff through me, and we've been looking at that. So do you have any questions about the October 1st changes? They are minimal, but at the same time, it is something that we need the board's approval
Can
to move on.
Can you tell me about environmental health and how do we get that... there's an element of it that has a nexus with community development and code enforcement, and it may not be perfect, but it is. There is a disconnect, I think, right now with community development or maybe code enforcement, building and safety, septic take. You know, I don't know, but there's also the public health inspections, the restaurant inspections, the pool inspections that. It's not exactly a perfect fit in community development, but I think that looking at the January 1 thing long term, is that something that you do in the next phase? Okay.
We're looking at, if I may, Commissioner, we have discussed that at length, and I've done some research on it, and I've asked the state OHA to send me a breakdown as to what functions must stay with public health. I have not yet received it. I just requested it a little over a week ago. And so we were just leaving it where it is right now because some of the things in my research and looking at it are very definitely connected into the public health in regards to things that they need to do for various, whether they're emergency or whether they're catastrophic things or whether they're, you know, environmental or, you know, anything. There's just, they have a lot of tentacles into public health. There has been an issue in regards to planning, making requests, particularly in related to the cannabis industry, for environmental health to come in and do certain kinds of inspections. And in our discussion that we have had in this meeting this last week with Commissioner Morgan was that we anticipate that there needs to be some parameters, some guidelines set out in regards to environmental health, that we will take those and we will do the inspections. We will do those enforcement things. Because if in environmental health, there's, you know, I see the point in regards to some connection to economic development, but I also see that the greater need is for the public health and welfare assignment of environmental health. But I think that we can fix the issue that is going on in regards to environmental health not doing the inspections or following up on the complaints.
Yeah, that's the
that's an issue.
Code enforcement and building and safety, and we've heard that in a pretty specific meeting in a way that just didn't resonate with me at all.
And I think that that has been an issue that has been more of a staffing decision rather than a management decision. And
management is ultimately responsible, and we think we were thinking about changing the management might change the outcome at the staffing level.
So I think
that that's in progress.
So I think we're going to be working on that piece of taking on the responsibility of doing the enforcement that is necessary in regards to the environmental stuff that goes on with the cannabis industry that has been kind of the impetus for this.
Then
once we get the data from the state, we can look at it better once we know more information. So that's kind of why it's just left right here right now.
Can we segregate documentation in our documentation, anything that has to do with the cannabis industry, when you're going out on a call and say, yeah, this is related to the cannabis industry? Because what I think that would be very important for the county to form a case when we go to the state and they say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. To say we'd have a statistics to say this is our environmental health has answered this many calls related to the cannabis industry that we didn't have before Measure 91. Mm-hmm. We had none of these before 91. And now that we have 91, we're going to need some help down here.
And
do you want the whole thing back or what do you want?
I'd like to clarify that they're not having the problems just with the cannabis industry.
It's not just the cannabis. No.
It's our planning community development has been the location we've been sending people for complaints. Mm-hmm. They've been routing complaints to environmental health that have been unheeded and
exactly.
unresponded to. And the justification is, well, we get reimbursed for restaurant inspections. We don't get reimbursed for doing those for the county. That's not at their level decision. That's our decision level
exactly.
to make. And with the right management in place, that is going to be enforced. Mm-hmm. I still was concerned about...
My question is can we document...
And they
so
are
that,
already so in the planning
can,
department.
So we can get reimbursement from the state at some point in time.
We already get reimbursed from the state for some of the stuff. But for the marijuana specifically...
He's looking to tap into the revenue generated by marijuana, which we are not getting reimbursed
yeah.
for.
No. But the planning is supposed to be tracking what's marijuana related
and
or
think,
not.
I think they are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are too. But what I want to do, and of course I'm only here temporarily, but what I want to do is to visit with Julie over at planning and set up the line of communication, the tracking for these
yeah.
complaints. And then they need to be coming to environmental health. And like I said, the impetus for it was the huge influx of marijuana. It's not only marijuana. You know, we know that. There's all kinds of raw sewage and, you know, illegal dumping and all of those
well,
kinds of things.
You've expressed a concern in your neighborhood.
Exactly.
Far dating.
Exactly. So it's not the only thing, but that was what the driver was to bring this to the forefront.
It's compounded the issue. We are not getting any less.
Mm-hmm.
Any fewer issues
right.
as a result.
Right.
So
anyway, I think, you know, in working with Julie, and I wanted to make sure that the board would be okay with me doing that, and then whoever comes in, you know, as the permanent director would be able to carry it on. But
I think we just thought about the idea of removing that disconnect between
mm-hmm.
code enforcement, environmental health
mm-hmm.
being across the street, seemingly not that far away, but... maybe worlds away, and that their effectiveness in being able to coordinate together.
All they have to do is send the report by
and
email.
It should be, yeah,
yeah.
very
so,
seamless. But
I can meet with Julie and
okay.
start working on that. And but again, I want to wait and get that information from the state, because that's how we worked on these, and the committee was getting the information that you had requested before I came here as to what departments and programs could be contracted out, which ones can be transferred to other departments, and what we had to retain. But they did not send us the environmental piece, so I contacted them to get that piece
okay.
as well.
I just wanted to go through this so we can say, so where's WIC is going to remain?
So for just right now, the move. So the recommendation for moving towards the January was that everything clinically related, we should create a RFP to put out to the community of who would be willing to take on our different areas. So there's on the October.
And really, it's under the nexus. It's that they would be, it's in their core competency to provide this. What my concern is that looking around the state, the way the CCOs have developed, is that there's a duplication of providing services. And you've got multiple different groups who are providing similar services. And it seems really disconnected from the clients that are looking to get perhaps just that one, but also other services. And they're having to run all over town. I've heard this from a number of people, that they're having to go all over. And it just seems like that we haven't taken a fresh look or brushed up, and this is our opportunity to do so. And so it's not that somebody else could just do it for us, and not that that's what you said. It's just that how are we providing a more consistent provision of services to these clients that are needing them?
And it will, and we're at a time that not only do we have a leadership change, we also have a situation where we have numerous retirements coming in the next year,
yeah.
which is not necessarily easy to replace. It's going to affect the services provided. So there are some pieces that we have to retain that we cannot get rid of our obligations to do the reporting to the state. But some of the physical in the field stuff can go to... be outsourced to other groups. So the sections under the October 10th that we're recommending to look at would be the WIC supervisor and the WIC program,
mm-hmm.
Potentially eliminating what would be the deputy public health director, and then going to the all-care contract employees. That would incorporate a nurse practitioner, RN, a dietitian, and then also the nursing programs.
Can we talk about the deputy? Because we've got an advertisement for that currently underway. And if we're speculating on approving on October 1st, are we advertising for not?
And we'll have to talk about that. Because honestly, we can't recommend to have it go away if we keep the clinical. And we would not have the same program in place if we do eliminate the clinical.
Yeah.
And so really needs the board's direction on what to move forward with. So the final piece that fits in this program is the last column, which is the nursing program supervisor with the social services, home visiting RNs, and Healthy Start public health advisory. Communicable disease RN, which is in the far left corner under environmental health, that's one that the reporting in the upper left box, that's one that the reporting would have to keep, but the investigations can be part of the outsourcing. And the immunization coordinator, the reporting and the investigations we have to keep, however, or the enforcement piece of that, but the actual issuing of the immunizations can be done through medical providers in the community and does not have to go through us. So those are the positions that we would be looking at as potentially putting in an RFP to move towards having a change as of January 1st. And so if you look at the January 1st, you see what's remaining. And with what's remaining, the question comes into play, do you need a public health deputy director? Mm-hmm. We question, do we need a public health director? The recommendation of JJ was the position actually be kind of limited to an administrator position versus a director position, because the health officer is taking on some of those functions, and it doesn't need a full director per se position. That was JJ's recommendation, so why it says public health administrator versus public health director. There are programs in the community that are already have in the past with some of the changes have made up the difference for our public health department. One of those is Siskiyou Community Health, where they meet the needs of people from both CCOs. They have a location in Cave Junction. They have a location in Grants Pass. They already meet the low income group in the community providing dental, which I remember when I was a kid and before I had a dentist, I went to the public health department to get my dental stuff done. And that's something that there is groups in town that provide this. So that's why we think an RFP would be the best route. Instead of recreating the wheel, Arthur and JJ were going to be reaching out to Douglas and Coos and some of the other counties that have already seen some of these changes and make the recommendations of getting the RFP language so that we don't lose any of the things from the contract with Oregon Health Authority that we have to make sure are included in it.
There's some union steps as well that need to be taken into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making any recommended changes before October that would require their notification? Because I think a lot of times theirs are 90 days.
So the October union stuff will not change. The only change that would be incorporated is the
There are no union changes associated with the October 1st.
JJ told me the ACOs will remain in their union, absolutely. The change will be to the lead position, which is essentially being eliminated.
That's a non-union, I would imagine,
right.
Anyway.
It's a budgetary elimination, right?
And so the deputy that's replacing...
And that's not hired anyway. That's not person.
It's correct. It's
right
vacant.
Now. It's vacant.
It is a vacant position. The deputy that is replacing, though, potentially would be in the Sheriff's Association. So the grants for the other positions and all, it's just a matter of transferring supervision and building location. Finance sourcing and everything else will remain the same. The big one is the January 1, and that is something that we talked about that needs to be a part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Is and that will be for another day. It potentially would be an executive session. It would be some mm-hmm. other discussions that we need to have as far as what direction. But for now, our recommendation would be that clinical be put out at an RFP to see about those opportunities.
Sounds really thorough, Commissioner Morgan, and Cheryl, Arthur, I appreciate you. And JJ, even though he's not here, going to this length, I think I was talking with Cheryl beforehand. I don't necessarily understand, but I can see organizational pieces and core competencies and things that need to happen. And it looks like at the end of the day, if we move forward with the January, we're going to retain somewhere around 12 FTE. Changes the footprint substantially from what I've heard is the most pretty inefficient building, not necessarily designed for public health services or administration. It was more for emergency services. And I'd really like to see, you know, hear from people what they think about the continuity of care, the ability to meet the people's needs. I think immunizations in the WIC program to me are really, really important programs. I think the home visits are also, well, they're probably all very, very important programs.
Mandated, or are they all just things that have grown over time?
They're all part of a contract with Oregon Health Authority, and they're provided in different capacity. WIC is a federal program, and it comes with a profit. So it is a benefit to whoever gets it that there's
an administrative overhead. You don't actually just get to garner funds arbitrarily.
Correct. But it is one of those things that it is something that goes well with the Healthy Start program. There's a real big move statewide to be really focusing on early childhood development right now and being aware of traumas with kids under five and addressing those things. One of the programs that's been identified that would be a good partner potentially is Head Start. Mm-hmm. And they are specifically addressing this age group. So it's not necessarily that this all has to go in one slew.
No.
It may be that this portion is a good fit for this group and this portion is a good fit for that group. And that's some of the details that we need to get worked out through the RFP process. But we know that future criminality has a direct link to trauma in early childhood. So if we can continue to make sure these programs are provided in the community, we're looking at the future health and safety of our community by reducing our...
And we can, through the RFP, we can bid on any and all as far as the pieces are concerned. So we can request bids for just single items or bid for the whole scope of the entire program. So that's doable under the RFP process.
Usually when we say bid, it's a benefit to us, but it's really more of outsourcing a contract. Because we've got the contract with Oregon Health Authority on these to provide them.
And to try
how come we don't, how come we are doing that? How come Oregon Health Authority isn't looking to say what is the best provider in the community? Public health as an entity, the county says, we think we can do it, blah, 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 with this kind of resources, this location, for this many clients.
This is a local control issue. The state really believes that at the local level is a better outcome than if the state is the
administrator. So that's how they administer a lot of different funds. And then we get to decide whether or not we're the best provider.
We remain the public health authority. We remain the mental health authority. But we potentially could say, but the people providing the services are these people.
Is that also the best fit? I've heard you say that we need to. I've heard from Douglas County, they are no longer the mental health authority, and I'm not really sure what the benefit or cost is. I know that we generate about $44,000 in not necessarily revenue, but administrative revenues to pay for long-term mental health records, a number of other things to facilitate those grant dollars that go directly to them. It's about $2.5 million. I'm not sure what we would benefit from by saying we're not the mental health authority anymore. We sign off on people who, you know, can do certain things as far as keeping people every year. I don't know.
The ORS does say we cannot relieve ourselves of our governance in the public health authority position. So there is an ORS that specifically says we can outsource everything, but our authority is public health authority. And the biggest change with the mental health authority, we had a bigger play when, even with the outsourcing of options mental health, most of the money still passed through the county to them. With a CCO model, a lot of that is going directly. They have contracts directly with AllCare and Primary Health.
Yeah, I remember when I was here earlier, we were doing, I mean, their allocation was close to 5.5. We just did one this year for 2.5, which means we're not getting the dollars we used to. It's going through the CCO exactly.
It is going through the CCOs. And honestly, a lot with the public health stuff, the potential is there too. I think that's why I brought up Siskiyou Community Health, because they have contracts with both.
Mm-hmm.
I met with a alcohol drug treatment provider the Friday before I was gone, and that was one of the things affecting them, that they have a contract with one, they're seeking a contract with the other. And so it's just one of those things that the CCO model has changed how we do business.
Yeah.
But I also just met with Oregon Health Authority as the liaison to mental health, because they're renewing the contract for for Options. Even though Options is run by a separate board that we have no authority over, even though they have contracts individually, we still could say we want to pull our contract from them, and we could put out to bid to other agencies our mental health services. So we do not give up our authority as the Mental Health Authority, as the governing body of the county. Public health is the same thing. There are certain things that we are required to maintain in that fashion. It's just a matter of who is that and at what level. So you can see with the model, with the January 1st obligation, where is a deputy director necessarily needed? I'm not certain that the people that have applied for deputy director wouldn't be a good fit moving forward in this reduced model anyhow. I just know that if we're doing these big changes, we kind of have to rethink of, we've posted a job, we've received really good applicants for that job, but what is the shape of it looking like when there's not a director in
place? Yeah, I don't like to hire somebody and then just say a month or two later, you know, when you passed up another job,
this is where we're going, but we need you here for right now for 4 months.
Which is a good question for you. How long are you able to...
They told me 3 to 4 months, and I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would like to get this done in 3 to 4 months, so that's very generous of you, and I appreciate it.
How many, from here to here, are we saving any FTEs, county employees?
Yes.
Yeah. 13.
Six...
That are ours.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
But the FTEs don't necessarily go away. They're just not here anymore.
But they're not paid by the county. They're not on county payroll, right?
Right.
And these are all pass-through funds from other sources through either Oregon.
That's why I say they don't necessarily go away.
They don't go away, but who writes a check becomes different. Because I'm just thinking of the person, you know, you're always talking about, well, gee, did you outsource anything? And this would be something, yes, we did. And because people are aware of PERS.
PERS will be affected by this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will affect PERS. It will affect the union. It is something that is affecting FTEs. Mm-hmm. And that's a question that we have to have as a board and staff on how we proceed.
Well, PERS always gets theirs. They don't just walk away from them. I mean, there's a liability established. And
true.
Arthur will have to
so there's. The one other piece you asked about with environmental health, we do need to still hear from the state on the portion of what has to remain. There is a portion that is related to planning, but the inspections and stuff are also, to me, that's not very undifferent than the building inspector versus code enforcement. If we had to go that direction, it would still require a very thorough connection with public health if that move. One of the concerns of moving environmental health is that it increases the scope of range of supervision in the community planning development department. So that you have environmental health, you have planning, you have building inspections, you have economic development. And so it's just kind of looking at what would that structure look like to make sure that that department is set up to be successful versus...
It provides for an opportunity for either a deputy director or a lead person in each of those roles, a real lead person.
Correct.
I don't believe that the person that we're currently looking at as a lead planner was hired with that intent, and I didn't agree with that, and so it should be looked through the lens of that if you do that, you actually have a real director there who isn't doing necessarily any of these things, but is aware in doing all of those things.
And honestly, that's where a deputy director comes into play. They're the ones that oversee the operations of the day-to-day operations, and that's the question of, is that position still needed in public health or not? So really, we couldn't go any further with saying we would like to say this or say this and that without bringing it to the board and getting direction from the board on what to pursue or not.
If I may, in looking at these, I know what I did when I came to the other meeting a week or so ago is that I had marked these based on the information that the county had received as to what could be divested from public health. But one thing that I was looking through the lens in all of them and evaluating them is the two things that we have to keep that it was because I visited for about an hour with OHA on this topic is that if we have to report or we have to enforce, those are the two things we have to keep. Mm-hmm. The function of those things we can outsource. But if we have to report or if we have to enforce, so anything like quarantines or the immunizations, for instance, for children going to school. If they haven't got their shots, we have to prohibit them from attending school. Those are issued. Public health does that. If you have to shut down a pool or a hotel or a restaurant or whatever, anything that's enforcement, we cannot contract out. We have to do the reporting and the enforcement because those are statutory requirements for public health. So that I don't know if that would help you, but that's what helped me in looking at these is, okay, we're looking at this particular function.
Sure.
How much of it can go away, and what do we have to keep? So our discussion at the meeting that we had most recently yesterday was perhaps we only need someone who is collecting the data from the contract person that has to be reported. And that person could be pretty much clerical type of individual, or if a specialized knowledge, if it has to be reported of a communicable disease, someone could take that data and input the data for the report. So that kind of simplifies how you evaluate what can go and what can stay. It's just, okay, do we have to report it or do we have to enforce it? And in public health, in the environmental area, we do have quite a few of those areas of authority of enforcement in public health that actually lives in the environmental health department, shutting down a restaurant or shutting down a swimming pool or whatever. So those are pretty serious effects mm-hmm. on the community, and they are enforcement. So that's why I'm getting clarification from the state on that one.
So, and just to couple with that, if you look at the January 1st recommendations in the box that says counter admin, the immunization coordinator would be that piece, the one doing the reporting and the enforcement, but not giving the shots any longer. The department specialist we would give the communicable disease reporting to, so the investigations would be done in the part of the RFP, but the reporting to the state would go through that person, and then they would still be covering, this group would be covering the counter as far as the public service and kind of, so there's still the face of public, but it doesn't have to be in 20 places anymore. The windows can be reduced. One piece that I should say that we're also recommending moving as part of this is dog licensing out to the shelter. And with that would be a 0.7 position that would
increased.
Be moved
yeah.
out there. So there's two ways that can be done. They have a 0.5 person out there that's a tech that could either be increased or hire a second person to do that. The shelter is slammed with things going in and out all day long. And it doesn't seem to make sense to keep dog licensing at public health when that person can move out to the shelter, do the same function, and help with the customer service.
Out, yeah.
It's a convenience element.
Yeah.
People having to come from O'Brien to go all the way out to Merlin to get their dog license. Can't you get your dog's license?
At the vet.
So they don't have to go out there.
No.
And they don't need
if you go to your vet to get which you have to get the shots to get the license.
Yeah.
The vet can give you all the paperwork and you just mail it in.
Then that's
and your
great.
Renewal can be by mail too. You don't
yeah.
have to physically
you don't have
go
in
to do it.
You don't ever have to go in to get it done. You can get it done at the veterinarian and then just renew in the mail.
Yeah, I didn't think my mom and dad went all the way in there. Mm. One thing that we need to consider is that, so right now our general fund draw for funding public health in its current form is what, Arthur? It's
150.
Used to be 250. This system right here may look smaller, but it could cost more because there isn't, you know, that's what I want to look at. What is it going to cost to do this? Because I'm doing the math and it could very easily.
Because your contracts should come back as higher than what we pay to keep it internal?
No,
because
you're outsourcing.
Because you're outsourcing
your
administration.
The stuff that used to cover the cost of some of this
stuff. But you're
stuff
still paying for it.
Is not covering it, but you're still paying for it.
Okay, if you look at that chart of January 1st, environmental health makes
that
money.
That pays for itself.
Okay. The animal shelter
pays for itself.
It's fine. So
emergency preparedness may not cover everything. That's a pretty small grant.
Right.
For a full-time FTE.
I bet
it doesn't.
Basically it'll be your administration over here that's going to be the cost center.
That's over 150.
But vital records brings in a good chunk of cash there. Actually, the way we looked at this, if we reduce it down, and of course you're allocating the cost of the administrator among the programs that he or she is administrating.
You should think.
Right, so that it actually does not cost us. It will not. It will reduce the amount of take on the general fund.
Okay.
The hit. It'll reduce the hit on the general
fund. This may not end up being the final look. It's a start. We have to, as we move forward, we keep looking at where things are at. But
well, I think we need a vision of where we want to go, and that's what this provides.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
in order to do that, when you sign up with something that looks similar to this, then you can backtrack and you can say, well, what if you did hire a deputy public health director and that person actually became the administrator? And
mm-hmm.
how far different are those? And when you hire this person, you say, this is perhaps what it's going to look like. Do your core competencies, your set, line up with this set? Are you an administrator? Or are you the WIC person and you're the nurse? You know, you have core competencies here, and they aren't going to be there anymore. So that doesn't make a lot of sense.
And I actually think we have applicants that would fit this role very well.
Okay.
I think so. And I think that's what JJ was feeling, too, when we were discussing the reorg and the applicants that we had, that he felt that there was the pool that we had the skill set that would be appropriate for this reduced.
Really apropos that we're actually hiring a deputy as opposed to a director. Mm-hmm. I would feel terrible if I got hired for a director of this and then I get saddled with that. Even if you're paid the same, I'd be like, no, that's not what I signed up for. That's not what's going to move my career down. Because when I go to the next person and I say, this is what I'm doing, it's like, well, I need you to do this, and you're doing this. That doesn't line up. That wouldn't be good.
No.
But it might be a good stepping stone for somebody who wants to do the full public health but doesn't have that perhaps administrative oversight. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things we do retain is all the liability, which is what when I hired a director, I want the fact that you've done the liability stuff. You've crossed those boxes. You've been in charge of those key programs, and then we're okay. I think that may make a lot of sense.
Are there any questions that you guys have or any thoughts that you would like us
just
to take?
Just a comment. I probably understand about 10% of what you all said, but when I can go from here to here, that's a big jump. And with a landing halfway there on October 1st, I think you've got a lot of time and effort in this. A lot of time and effort. But we knew it wasn't, this worked just fine for how many years? But there's a big change.
I think it's had its shortcomings working with the community. I mean, if it worked perfectly, I don't know that I'd be looking at this. But
right.
I think that there's...
Therein lies the problem. It hasn't worked.
It could be
so it's
improved.
Time for change.
Well, times have... Exactly. Times have changed out there.
Yes.
It's not necessarily
providers have changed.
The CCO model has changed how we look at health.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it's provided in the community, why are we duplicating just for the sake of duplicating?
The county used to have to provide all this stuff, but now there's a private sector that stepped into that role. So it's time to reevaluate the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think the timing is absolutely crucial.
And Diane was involved in this too. So Diane, mm-hmm. who was our previous administrator. So this is not independent.
The CCOs and the laws and statutory rules that govern the CCOs, they have a public health component that they have to meet. And I know Diane was working with the CCOs trying to accommodate that. That was the whole reason for contracting, getting nurses into public health, because that is meeting their public health requirement. Well, rather than putting them in our place, we need to put ours out in the community and not be duplicating the services.
Yeah.
And because people can get the cares at the CCOs now, rather than at the CISCU.
I did not mean to interrupt you. My apologies.
That's okay. Sorry.
What we would like to move forward with the permission of the board is the first step, the October, and to be preparing what would be the move towards planning for January. That would be something we would have to bring back to the full board before it goes anywhere. But the ones that we believe to be able to be moved now without disruption of services or effect on the county are the ones noted at the bottom of the pages. There's one other piece that we do need to talk with you guys about, and that is the accreditation of the public health department. Apparently, there's been an employee working towards accreditation for the last couple years. Right now, she currently puts about 4 hours a week towards the process, but come January, when they start moving towards accreditation, they have not applied yet. It would be looking at about 30 hours a week. Well, the person doing that is currently, that's not in her job description. It's not her function at all, but it's something she was taking on extra. I question the need to be accredited. I believe that with the potential of where we're going with the vision of this department, it's not necessarily needed. And in talking with Cheryl, she was in agreement. But that is a decision the board needs to be a part of. Do we want to pursue accreditation? What I have seen from my experience in the public safety realm with accreditation is what it does is it makes sure that it takes up staff time to make sure your policies are current. You have to show the reports on how you're maintaining your policies. And that's something we can do otherwise. But what benefit does accreditation give us?
Does it give us any, not to interrupt you, but does it give us any credence if we were in a lawsuit at all?
No, it does not change the standards that we have to meet. And it
I also don't think that Cheryl's giving us legal advice either.
Pardon?
She would have said to start out that recommendation that she's not giving us legal advice also.
No.
Because you asked a legal question.
Yeah, I'm not.
Talking about liability. But
no.
She also has a lot of experience in the industry
right.
And can provide us some guidance on that.
I'm not giving legal advice, but what I'm saying is that we have to meet statutory requirements. And whether you're accredited or not,
if you don't
does
do it.
Not reduce those requirements.
Okay.
So legally would that matter? I don't know. But I just, as far as accredited departments around the state, there's nothing in our contract with the state that says, we'll get better rates or we'll be held in higher esteem or whatever because we're accredited. So
that answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
It will not bring us any finances, but it would potentially bring us extra cost for maintenance and everything else like that. So
it does require a tracking system and a reporting system.
So how many different advisory boards do we have associated with this? I can think of at least three, maybe four.
We have an animal shelter advisory, we have the public health, and we have the EMS board.
Mm-hmm. That's the three that I have.
Mm-hmm. That is the three.
And then
I invited our board of health director here today to make sure that she was
available. Well, I think to be consistent, because there are two board chairs that weren't here or maybe not invited, included, which is fine.
And I meet with one of them on Thursday night.
I just think that what we need to do is probably have a consistent way of addressing, what their positions. So like you as a liaison to all of those, taking the time to present, the board is approving the October 1 projection, moving towards the January 1, in the interim having an RFP where people can respond to different elements of that. How do they feel? And I don't want to jump into something without taking advantage of those advisory reports and maybe pointing out something that we haven't thought of. I don't want them to ever think they're advisory, just like any other advisory board. I want good stuff coming out of it, not we don't like that idea. You've got to give me why you don't like this idea.
Thursday night is the animal shelter advisory meeting, and I will be there for the first hour of that.
Okay.
The portion that affects them, well, the shelter, our recommendations, the shelter remain the same.
Yeah,
with anything that it's increasing the support that they would be getting by the one position, the licensing move to the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
The ACO portion, moving to the sheriff's office, doesn't affect the shelter directly other than the question of where are they housed. But they, falling under the sheriff's office authority and all that kind of stuff, that would be... there's still going to be a constant coordination with the shelter, and they will still be working in coordination with. And like I said, we do need to set up the meeting with our interim nursing supervisor, our 911, the sheriff's office, and the shelter for the calls, and where did the phone tree go for what?
I think the alternative right now is those animal control officers are really probably not utilized by the sheriff's office to do other things, but I think if they were under the sheriff's office, is there the ability to, do other things in the interim of responding to animal control calls? Are they actual deputies? And, you know, so I don't know. That would be something that the animal shelter might have a question, and they, you know, wait a second. This is the animal shelter levy paying for this.
Yeah. They're not deputies. The lead, it would be a deputy. But that lead assigned to this, same as the funding from the Marine Board for the Marine deputy, the BLM for the other guy, they're assigned to this primary function.
Except those are deputies.
So will the lead become a deputy?
Yeah.
The ACOs will remain ACOs, and their function will remain the same. They're not, if they get sworn in by the sheriff, that's up to the sheriff if he chooses to do that, but they aren't going through.
They are. They're already
sworn in.
They are sworn in, that's right. But they're not going through the DPS Academy and able to...
Well, not right now, but they're not under the sheriff right now.
Well, we...
Those are the questions that they're going to want. And I don't necessarily have those questions because I see them, you know, as facilitating public safety functions. Their core mission, like you talked about, Marine and BLM, is those entities. But when they're not there, I mean, you see Ernie Fields doing stuff if he's not on a boat somewhere.
The ACOs, because they do not have, and there's no plan for them to have, the law enforcement training, they can't call upon them for liability reasons. They couldn't call upon them to do those things. They could only answer the animal calls. Or if there was a crime or an incident where there was an animal involved, which they do anyway, they go to the scene and take the animals. You know, they do that. But
okay. Well, something you guys can work out.
Do you have any hesitation for us moving forward with this first piece?
I think we just need a plan of moving forward, and it involves checking in with each of our advisory committees in a scheduled way. So even if they don't have a meeting scheduled, this is a big enough move that all of them will be affected, that you need to call a meeting as the liaison from the board and say, this is what we're looking to try to do.
Okay.
And you need to be aware of it, and we want...
Without your blessing to move forward, we will not meet the deadline of October 1st to have animal control officers.
No, you do. You do. That's what you're presenting to each of those.
Okay.
The board
is... So that will be presented tomorrow night to the animal shelter advisory.
The other one's not scheduled to meet.
Neither of them are scheduled until September. Diane had canceled it for the summer.
So,
call a
meeting. So we'll get a meeting scheduled.
I don't know what they normally talk about, but it's probably not as important as this.
Yeah,
this is huge. This changes the trajectory. People talk about this.
So for the sake of the record, the current budget, if you compare the current animal control budget payroll to the revised budget as of, you know, the January 1 version, well, actually the October 1 version, we're actually going to charge less payroll to animal control shelter overall. They're going to save money administratively with the revised public health program. The deputy will cost more than a lead ACO. So you will pay more for the deputy than you will for a lead ACO. But overall, the costs that we have in the budget, you're going to, the animal shelter control program will cost about $20,000 less in this year.
Is there no portion that we're providing the sheriff's office for the admin of the program?
That includes that coverage.
Okay.
Yeah, that includes the coverage. Of course, the full cost of the deputy, which is more than a lead ACO, but overall the administrative allocation and portion that's being charged to animal control as we've done now. So there's actually... For this current fiscal year, there's going to be a little bit of a savings to the
Why
overall.
Why isn't there an element assigned to the sheriff as being the director of the program? Was that done to Diane as the director?
Yes, correct.
Is that being done to the sheriff?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So 10% of his salary should be...
A larger portion of Diane and...
Or whatever.
And, Rebecca and Shannon and Shania...
I just want to make sure that we're capturing all of the overhead costs.
I believe we're capturing all the overhead,
this.
Yeah.
So
that's not going to be forever, but I'm just saying initially for this, compared to what the current budget is, adopted budget, versus what we're proposing with this change.
So being that I meet with Animals Shelter Advisory tomorrow night, the soonest I think we could, that's not tomorrow night, I'm sorry, Thursday night.
We knew what you meant. You said it once.
Yeah,
Thursday.
You're good.
I'm confused about my days already.
It happens.
Happy August 1st.
Isn't that crazy?
The soonest I think we could schedule a public health or EMS board would be next week, and that's if we can get notifications out.
Just
being the week after is fair. It's going to be busy around the county and all of those agencies involved in fair stuff. So the three of us will get something going as soon as possible. But the question
thing about
is
this is a big move. It doesn't have to be political, but if you didn't check in with the, you know, provided for advisory boards that you put in place, I can see a real, you know, why are we here kind of a thing. You're proposing to do all this stuff, and we're just sitting here. And
all of them have received an email from me as far as potentially what we were looking at and different things. So it's not going to be big surprises. The biggest one that had concerns was Animal Shelter Advisory.
Yeah, and they're being touched like the least, and yet they freaked out, I would say, prematurely.
Yeah.
Not with the right information, and certainly not, even though you were providing perfect clarity in the email you CC'd me on to those who asked.
They ignored it.
It just seems
some of them,
you know,
panicked anyhow.
I'm not really sure, and I'd like, you know, that's not okay with me. In the future, I don't want an advisory board that's just jumping to the gun on stuff. And that's not a representation of good communication within the county. And we're going to be able to talk about ideas here with all of our advisory boards and have them not freak out about it. That's just the way I think that it should work. And so I don't know who carries that message besides you to that advisory board, but it needs to be clear that there's a good communication.
Cheryl and I will have an opportunity to have that messaging Thursday night.
Great.
We'll be able to speak with the other ones. I don't anticipate an issue with the other ones at all.
I really see this as an improvement in care, quality, continuity, efficiency. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to fall through the cracks on this, and I don't think we have that. So
you want us to wait to move anything until we hear back from all the advisory boards?
No.
Okay.
I think actually all of this is totally implementable over the next 2 months.
If there's not objection from the board, the biggest concern I have is that we get posted for whatever the sheriff needs for hiring.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time to get the right person hired.
Well, you're having that meeting on Thursday, so I don't think holding off until Thursday is totally inappropriate to advertise for it on Friday.
Well, and the big thing is they're an animal shelter advisory.
Yeah, they're not.
The ACOs are not in the shelter.
Right.
So it's one of those things that they have no authority over that portion. This is a matter
of
having a
discussion. None of our advisory boards really have
authority.
They're advisory. They have no authority.
It's just really important.
There's some other things that Cheryl and I have to talk with them as well, with their hoarding response teams and different things that are.
I think we want to move diligently, but trying to bring our partners are into the fold on this, because it could be really, really positive. And I just, maybe I'm not gun shy after the animal control deal. There's affected them the least as far as their advisory ability, and yet they just got it off. They were 100% off from anything that anybody had ever said that I'd heard. There's no intent. Why would you give up a program? It makes no sense. And I just have to say this for the record. You have the citizens just signing up for a 5-year levy on a program, and you're going to look to outsource that to somebody else to run?
No.
You can't do that. There's no reason to do that. But to put animal control under the sheriff, where the majority of those officers are around the state, for liability, he's swearing them in. Sorry, that's not rocket science. And for us to even speculate that that's where it's going
to
go and it to freak out like that.
They're all wearing a uniform and a bulletproof vest and a gun. To the public, they're all under the same umbrella.
Yeah. We're all going to respect a person in a badge and a vest and a gun very similarly. So anyway,
okay.
That's just
So the soonest I would be able to get a report back to you, unless we had a meeting on Friday, is next Tuesday. So if you're okay with
back, it. I just need you to
make sure we have
into
the communication.
Those community.
We will do that.
Yeah, okay. In any way you see fit. It might be just an email. It might be a phone dealio. I don't know.
And so, it may be that you and I need to sit down with these employees and have that conversation, if you'd like me there.
The ones at the public health?
Correct.
About this plan?
The October 1st three.
Yes.
Letting them know sooner than later.
Actually, I've talked to those three already.
Okay.
Because they were already preparing for them over at Juvenile, and I was afraid that some employee sent a mail and say, we hear somebody's coming, you know.
Got it.
So I already talked to those three. But the others, I think that it would be the appropriate thing for us to tell them, like, ASAP as to what we're doing, because this is a public meeting, and they all know that something's happening, because I've already talked to three. And I think that we need to talk to all of them and let them know what it is. Now, it's a draft.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know exactly who's going to go where, because we haven't talked to the union yet. And some of these employees, as you mentioned earlier, some of them are very close to retirement. Some are eligible to retire. And I already know of some who have already said they're leaving. And, you know, so we need to let them know, and is my opinion, because this is now out there.
So let's schedule a staff meeting, and I will be there to back you up on this.
Okay, are you in this week?
Yes.
Okay, so let me...
We'll coordinate it when we're done. Mm-hmm. I'll coordinate with you when we get done, and we'll get
that
scheduled.
Do that.
Anything else the board has?
The only thing I have is, well, Peggy and I met with the... We interviewed...
Are you talking about this topic or any
board.
Topic?
No. Anything other than this topic. I think we're good on this topic.
On this topic, I'm good. I do have another thing I need to bring up.
Okay. That's what's talking
about. Anyway, Peggy
thank
and I...
Thank you so much.
Both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for being here this morning.
And Peggy and I interviewed two applicants for... Federal.
Great.
And we worked with her to schedule.
And we picked one, and it's the gentleman, Mark, and I can't pronounce his last name right now, but he's from Clackamas. And he will be one of the other applicants that we thought was pretty good. Also, I asked her if she would apply, because we're going to have another opening in the first part of next year.
Who would apply? Peggy?
No. Peggy. We had two
advisory. Yeah.
Two
you have
people
one
that
spot.
We interviewed. And I, you know, it was kind of, I thought, I'd like to have either one of them.
Yeah.
And I asked both of them, if you don't get it this time, are you going to reapply? And they both said yes. So I think we're kind of...
Because you have another opening potentially?
We have another opening coming up right after the first year.
Okay, fantastic. So we'll move that forward.
What is the process from here for my own?
We approve that at not this next weekly business session, the following weekly business session.
Okay, we would like to do that ASAP because fair.
It's on
tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's on tomorrow's schedule.
I didn't know.
Good, thank you.
I'm like, wait, I read an agenda and saw it already.
Cool.
Perfect.
So you make that recommendation, we vote on it tomorrow.
Thank you.
Great. I like the way this process worked. I think we've had it done many different ways. This is probably the first time we've totally delegated the recommendation to the liaison, but I'm not opposed to doing that in the future. I mean, you have to work with this person. And all of these liaisonships, all of these advisory board capacities, they should understand that they really serve at the pleasure of the board. And if they're not showing up, which is a big deal to me, I think that we should remove people who don't do that and open that spot up to somebody whose schedule, maybe it's just their schedule. Schedule allows them to be there. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, that's just one example. And I think we might implement this on a more regular basis.
Well, and speaking of, so the marijuana advisory committee was one of the things on my mind this last week. And we had kind of pushed out until July 31st application kind of thing. So now that that's there, I realize as I look through some of the applications ahead of time, there's names I've never heard of, mm-hmm. and our application does not really allow for. Why would you be beneficial on that? And I would like to do interviews.
I think the second page actually says, why would you like to serve on this?
Yeah, but people put more emphasis on that it asks for a resume. And there was one applicant, I just said, don't turn in a resume. I don't care about your resume. I want to know why people would be good for the thing, but our application doesn't ask questions.
Why are you excited about serving on this? What do you feel you can bring to the table? That was one of our
80-90% of the time a board member knows the people. Maybe not every board member knows the people, but somebody on the board, and that's what's been beneficial about the whole board reviewing the applications. I knew almost everybody from the fair board. I think you did too. So it was something that was simple that we could just do. This one is going to be a full board review. We're not going to have a liaison to it. I don't know that we have a liaison designated yet to this advisory committee. I think we've got a staff person, and that would be Julie Schmelzer is probably the person who's going to lead that.
And so Sean Martinez has interest to be a part of it. She actually would be willing to be on the committee, but she didn't know if she could. And
that's different. Having staff who's got a connection to it, they need to be staff because they can't be both. And she's going to have, if you're on the committee, I don't want anything
her purpose is as staff.
I don't want anything but your personal opinion on this. But when you're staff, I don't want anything but your staff opinion on this. So it's kind of got to be one of those. It's the same thing with people coming and speaking at the weekly business session. If we're paying your salary and you're there as a member of the management team, you don't get to get up and stand and talk about what your personal position is at that point. You need to say, I'm going to take Wednesday mornings off. I'm going to come to the weekly business session as a person and do that. You got to figure out which one you're at because it's confusing to the public and it could be bad. I mean, we can have a staff person stand up there on county time saying something we totally disagree with. How do we react to that?
That would be something I think we should delineate sometime to our staff.
To managers, yeah. I've done that from the as the chair occasionally. Are you here? You know, distinguish. Why are you there? Are you there? Because a lot of times they'll speak on the issue that they're also, and it's like, wait a second. No, you don't use your 3 minutes to do that. That's not what this is for. Anything you have?
I wanted to bring up a situation. It's appropriate the sheriff's here. We had an incident.
Bring them up?
A week ago with some of our staff having to be vacated from a building because of maintenance issues. And
well, he doesn't work for us. He can sit there if he wants to.
Well, here, one of the things I just wanted to bring up.
What if we all do? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I am concerned about customer service from facilities. Another partner with another agency that was in the building did something, and I heard one of our facilities people chew them out and say, oh, I'll tow your car. That's not the interaction I want to see.
Yeah.
Let's see how do we come up with a bet. In this situation, they were repeatedly asked to move a vehicle that was diesel discharge going into their dispatch, which is critical function, and they...
Into the ventilation system?
Yes, and they were harshly responding and discounted the complaints to the point that we had to send employees home and close our dispatch for a couple hours and affect
Sheriff's
the other 911.
Dispatch.
Sheriff's dispatch had to be evacuated. The 911 had issues as well. And they disregarded complaints
this was last
for two
week?
Hours the week before. We had
How
employees,
am I just now hearing about this?
Well, I heard about it on Facebook, and so I followed up and said, get me the incident. And the reality is they were asked and asked and asked, please, you're affecting us. Oh, it's not too bad. They had people turning colors and not, you know, having headaches for long term. It absolutely affected. And what if there was an emergency with the sheriff's office that could not be dealt with?
Yeah.
And, but to me, that you disregard an employee's complaint about it and you don't give them the credibility of believing their complaints
happens all the time. And all they do is they pick up the phone and Sarah from Park says, you know what, I'm not getting the response I need from facilities. Okay, I'll look into it. So I go check it out or I say, no, Sarah's got a legitimate complaint here. And I just pick up the phone to Ryan or I send him a text. It's like, Ryan, this needs to happen. And it does every single time.
And unfortunately, I heard about it after the fact.
Yeah.
But it was both the staff on scene as well as the person answering the phone that disregarded their complaints.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring it up to you that unacceptable to me that we had employees put in harm's way that were disregarded when they repeatedly asked.
Well, and it's usually if a diesel crane was there, it's for a contract we have probably for cell service at the top. You know, we're generating revenue as a result of these lease agreements and stuff. And we can tell the contractor, look, we don't want you operating your crane in the compound. We want you doing it out in the parking lot, or we want you to do it after hours, after everybody's gone, or something like that. We can tell them when and where we want it done. It's just got to be made aware, I suppose, of the
but
situation.
But unfortunately, the crane's needs were put above our employees, and we had employees that had medical consequences because of it.
Well, let's not talk about potential liabilities as far as medical is concerned.
Okay.
The remedy would be to figure out where the fresh air intake is so that if it's anywhere near a parking lot or anything, you're going to pick up exhaust fumes and move move, the remedy is to move the fresh air intake to the roof or high on the building. Or
there's a lot of remedies, but the gist of it is our facilities needing to remember that they're public servants, and that includes to us, and that their customer service needs to be polite, responsive, and not sarcastic, disregarding, or rude. And flat out, that's what I've been witnessing lately.
So you have personal experience?
I've personally witnessed our facilities manager be unprofessional. And I didn't feel that
let's not talk about the performance of an employee.
Okay.
Without that employee being invited, we can encourage. That's really important for both of you to understand. You lose right now if you start that conversation
without them. We can encourage the whole department to remember that customer service is important to us.
Every program, absolutely. And I think that's always a positive thing.
Yeah.
I talked to Ryan from facilities the other day. He had a report that we're having a hard time getting a cement contractor to bid the ADA ramp over there.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy putting in fence posts or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but he's working on it, and he thinks he should have some sort of an ID for us.
What's crazy is I saw cement trucks running on Sunday.
What's that?
I saw cement trucks running on Sunday,
yeah,
on the weekends.
Yeah.
Water trucks are as well.
Every day.
We ask for development in the Rogue Valley, and we're getting it, so we should
not complain. Everybody's busy.
It's not a bad situation.
We just have to get in line.
But he's going to start in on some of the landscaping and stuff. So that,
okay.
You know, so he's on it, and if I'm just keep at it, you know.
So
can't break somebody's arm to come.
One of the things that
ADA ramp
I wanted to do was the Moving Mountains videography element. The summer's jumping through. It's just, you know, work it and through it. We've got fair coming up. If you want to talk about trying to promote something for next year, your opportunity to wait another year to go video a fair, or we have to go video somebody else's fair, which is really not very accurate. I don't know what we do. I don't have necessarily a contract, but maybe we just say we want these things recorded so that is our timing doesn't really...
You need to build up an inventory of things that you can put into it. And if it requires... He goes out with his drone or whatever he does and does something around the fair this year, fine. And I'm assuming we're going to pay him for that.
Yeah.
But he's going to build a library of stuff that he can put into a video presentation at some point.
I feel like parks, public works activity, you know, for video, you know, the contractor... Probably should have public works people. That's a contracted element. But whatever we're going to do, you know, having some stuff with the sheriff's office doing would be really, really great while the weather's good. And I don't know exactly what that list looks like. I've started it. But it's been really tough to coordinate a PR committee. And during the summer months, people are not here a lot. Or they're really busy. Parks and fair. I don't have a lot of time to just sit down for a couple of hours and kind of hammer this stuff out. So,
but you got to do it if you're going to build a library of things to use. You got to start somewhere. I mean, we don't have to be there to show him what to film.
He knows what's
going
on.
Give him a list of events in the area. I mean, Mr. Greg Bigman was back to the 50s.
Right.
Would have been nice to have an aspect for there.
The city may have
some stuff, but. We have things going on out in the county, like Blackberry Festival out in Cape Junction. You know, they have a lot of things going on out there. You can go out there and hover that thing over the growers market out there. The growers markets are really big to tourists.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll put together some sort of a list, but I think in the meantime, fair is the one that's coming up in T-2 weeks.
He needs to get a library.
Needs to be on his schedule, because if it isn't, he's going to say, I'd like to do it, but I'm booked. I'll work on that if that's okay. I think it's within my liaison.
I just want to make sure that we have within costs.
What is the cost?
That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
And at what point do we need to put out an RFP for any of this stuff look at the bigger picture?
These things
are
small enough. You can contract directly for.
Okay.
So.
And I think asking, just say, you know, this is what we want you to do. We want you to build up an inventory of things you think are going to be important to put into a 90-second presentation or a 3-minute presentation for the county at a later date. And just let him say, I'll go to work on it. And it's going to be X number of dollars. Maybe you just retain it.
That's what I was thinking. And I think you front load it this summer because because there may not be that much stuff we do in the wintertime. So I won't go over like 5,000, I suppose, would be.
Start there.
No, nothing over that. Try to see how many events we can get. I think emergency management, like fire stuff, might be something also very for an educational piece.
There's a YouTube video on right now with Josephine County Community Corrections.
You have the same ringtone? That's weird.
That's her?
No, it's actually from... No, I'm not going to say it. Go ahead.
The Runner.
It's a British...
I was going to say Game of Thrones
hunt.
Or something.
British
it's a fox hunt.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I've sent out something with Board of Health. We'll send one out for EMS to get that scheduled. Community Corrections. I subscribe to the Josephine County YouTube channel, and Community Corrections has a new video on there just saying thank you for Community Corrections Week. And they have people from all over the state on there, so I don't know if you guys have seen that video yet.
It's on YouTube. Nope, missed it.
I get an email telling me it's there, so that's how I know. So I'll forward it to you. How's that?
I was at the potluck, and it was very, very well. Nate did a great job over there at the Community Corrections Week.
I told Sarah that we were going to be working on, and when I say we, I mean you, Commissioner DeYoung, on a park road maintenance program schedule.
Okay.
Is that something... What would you like me to do to help that effort? They are not in the queue. It's too casual of, well, when we're in the area, we'll help you out.
I think we're really honest. I think you're absolutely correct. We need to have a schedule. But that's going to require Sarah saying, okay, these are my problem areas.
She's got that list.
Does she have a list? Okay, good.
She's got a list.
All right.
For everything, yeah. So I can get you that
list.
Yeah,
get me the list, and then...
Start there?
We'll just push for that.
Okay.
And maybe get a little better response out of Public Works as to what our intent is, and maybe they can step that up. They will step it up.
We're having a meeting, I think, individually tomorrow with Congressman Walden, not deliberating towards anything, but he just wants to get to know us each. Is there anything specific that you guys are carrying as a message that I don't want to duplicate?
Well, I think the biggest things that are on my mind are obviously our opioid stuff that we're dealing with, but public health in general with the Affordable Health Care Act, it's affecting so many things, as I'm seeing with our foster kids and having a lot of exposure to foster parents' stories in the last week. Mm-hmm. That's something that I was, as part of the health advisory, the health committee at AOC was one of our topics we were dealing with. But mental health, Oregon is ranking last, and legislation is one of those things that affects the constraints that we have. Mm-hmm. So for me, I guess I'm coming from a health standpoint.
Cool.
And the impacts. So health, mental health, care, and just kind of an opioid, but...
I'm interested in designation of lands for, what do they call those wild lands? Monument status, because there's a systematic... They're just continuing to grab more and more and more.
Did you guys get that packet that I presented to Secretary Zinke 2 weeks ago? We made copies and put them in your box or somehow. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a comprehensive...
That's, and also the opioids and whatnot, their connection with the medical industry.
What about federal transportation issues? He's Secretary of Energy and Commerce. There's an element of commerce, transportation, truck traffic... I don't know.
We seem to concentrate in it, and I got a letter from a gentleman here a while back, and we seem to concentrate very heavily on north-south, interstate commerce, north-south, but getting our products to market, getting our products to the coast, to Coos Bay and stuff, that's, the east-west highway grid system is not, but that's more ODOT. Highway 20, that's federal, isn't it? Highway 20. And, things of that sort. Starting to concentrate a little bit more on the east-west traffic for commerce.
Even ODOT gets a lot of their money from the feds.
Yeah, they get
money
a ton
that
of it. Yeah.
comes to us from the state, that's, you know, so. I don't know. I was looking for a federal nexus on something of transportation, because I think I'm going to probably handle the public lands stuff. He was at that meeting with Sinke on evaluating the monument. He's all dialed in, I think, on those kinds of things. I'm going to talk about the transfer of federal land to the county, that I think, and the management at the local level that's not real consistent with what we'd like to see here. He knows those things, but I think that transfer conversation we've not had about the 7 to 10 different properties at the BLM mostly. I think there's one Forest Service property, and we'd like to transfer. And then we'd like to transfer some stuff to the feds. We've got a couple of patches up there that we don't need to, and they're really impossible to manage, and so like to get rid of. And I think we're going to work on that. There's an October federal forest management bill the Westermans put together on the House side, and I think we're looking to try to have those elements, the one sentence types of provisos in that we could get done. Anything else?
Nope.
Mr. Morgan?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
How was your land use hearing yesterday?
Ooh. Yeah.
it was left with both parties had requested their part for open record, so we're it'll be
ongoing. We're open for 7 more days.
Is there a hearing after that, or is there a decision by the board?
There's timelines that will go through community development, and then we will come back, deliberate, and go from there. So we have to wait for all the further stuff to be submitted.
Okay.
Yeah, they have 7 days for that. So
my challenge was I was not prepared. I mean, I was fine. I was not going to be there.
We ask an awful lot of questions.
Good.
You know, I think we got some of them answered.
Part of it was a learning opportunity for you guys.
I was prepared to make a decision yesterday, but when they said they had more to add, and then Councilor Hicks told us that, you know, that it's a shall. If they request it,
if there's a request, you will.
Yeah, you shall give them that opportunity. So that was only after we'd heard the whole thing, which is good, because we don't have to go back over that again.
So the record will be closed after 7 days, and you're just going to be reviewing written testimony?
I think there's another 7 days after that.
Community development suggested there's a whole dictated timeline.
So it's 7 days, and then there's 7 days to respond.
There's a response, and there's... Yeah, so that's...
Theoretically, that could never end.
Yep.
We did that
theoretically,
with Sunny Valley Sand and Gravel one.
But I
practically never ended.
So we're just left at them. You get your thing. Let us know when we're scheduled to continue it.
And we will come to a point
where public comment
is closed. Hearing is closed. Record remaining open. That's where we did it.
Yeah. And then there will come a time when we just say, okay, this is our decision. And then it's up to them. If they want to take it to LUBA, then they take it to LUBA, because LUBA kicked it back to us. We're hearing it again. No problem. And if it goes again.
Well, you only hear it on the element that LUBA remands to you.
Yep.
You don't hear the whole thing over. They say you didn't evaluate.
It was de novo, so does that mean the whole thing again?
No.
Okay.
LUBA doesn't remand you a de novo hearing. They only remand you something that you, and they don't give you direction that you need to approve this. Rarely do they do that, and then you don't hear it. It's just approved or denied at LUBA. But usually they remand something and say, you need to further evaluate this element. And then you can do that. Like in the Sunny Valley, we had 3 elements out of the 7 on the second remand that we needed to reevaluate. And after we made our decision on that, that's it. It's done. So we'll figure it out. Sounds real good if there's nothing else. Board's adjourned, 10:33.